Long Showtime Radio.
It's the Late Show with Francie Weatherman. It's the Late Show with Francie Weatherman.
Woke up this morning looking for my shoes. Looked behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Me on.
I'm excited. Oh, yeah. I was a big fan of the show. I mean, when I was off
during my medical leave with cancer, I was watching Cheaters and the other, I don't know if it was Blind Date or some other show that was on that order. And so that's cool. We got a TV producer and everything. I'm really excited. I am excited, and more than my voice sounds, but it's, you know, I'm kind of speechless in a way.
That makes you and me both on that one. And, you can mark that in today's calendar too. I've actually written a few, scripts inspired by Cheaters, just to watch from the reactions alone on some of the episodes. And, this one's going to be a fun show. That's for sure.
Yeah. And not only that, he's got this really awesome show right now. It's called To the Rescue, and he's doing a lot of great things to rescue animals. And can this guy sit any higher on a pedestal?
Only if we crank it up a couple notches.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. So we got a couple of show announcements. Okay. Yes, like I said. Oh, okay. He just called in. Tommy, we're about to pick you up, by the way. We just said very awesome things about you. We're so excited that you're here. Next week, we got Bill Willard, who is probably going to be, he's like really smart in physics, and he loves the Titanic and all this other, and he's written a couple of books.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, so he's on next week. And Nicholas Grabowski.
Yep, that's me. Yep. Yes.
Any cool announcement?
Yeah. A lot going on with Black Bedsheet Books. We're about to release this week, finally, Raina Young, a.k.a. Miss Misery of the Bay Area, her new adult novel, Slasher Girl. It's a lot of fun. And also, she did the introduction for the number 2 of our classic monsters series, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, did the introduction for that, and that's also coming out. And I just released a special hardcover 6x9 large case laminate hardcover edition of my novelization to Halloween for The Return of Michael Myers. It's available now. I've only got 35 copies that I'm signing, and it's on eBay. Go to Facebook, check out my page, Nicholas Grabowski, and it's the link's right there. Otherwise, go to eBay and just type in my name and blah, 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 bloody blah. And then you could find that. Plus, got like 650 things, 1,000 things on there, too, a lot of which is like horror stuff. So, look out for everything else that's coming out. I'm about to sign new authors, some very well-known names. Let me put it to you that way, very soon. And anything else? Not that I can think of. Just we're probably going to publish more books this year than we have any other year prior. We've been around since 2008. So onwards and upwards. And, Black cool. BedsheetBook.com.
Well, I mean, Nick, you've come a long way, and all I gotta say is hats off to you, man. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah, we just won an award too for we came in number 5 in the top 10 publishers on the Predators and Editors Critics Reader's Choice Awards for last year.
Woo-hoo!
So cool. I forgot to mention that. That's important.
And by the way, if you're feeling a little, if you're not relaxed so much, I would suggest that all of you go to Honest Amish. Go to honestamish.com. They got this soothing peppermint soap and beard soap. Oh, man, Aaron D. Johnson's going to kill me again.
Whoops.
No, honestly, if you go to honestamish.com, they got the best products ever known to man.
especially for beards.
The beard and mustache.
Is it because he sent us some, God bless him.
Yeah, it's great stuff. You got the soothing peppermint, body wash, and everything else in the beard and mustache. Oh, Aaron, I promise
and
I'm going to get
honest,
this right.
And it's Amish.
Yeah, and it's made in the USA. And if you go to honestamish.com, and if you put in the promo code Talking Beards, you will get 15% off if you order $35 or more. You will get free shipping. Without further ado, are we ready?
We're ready.
Are you guys ready? Because this is the first time that you and William and Tom, you got to talk to this guy.
I know. It's going to be fun.
I know. And you guys, when I told you guys, I was like, hey, we're getting Tommy Hey Beebe. You're like, what? No. Really?
Now, we don't need to spoil the audience with our excitement.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready?
We're ready.
In 3, 2, 1. Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're
good, Tommy. How's it going?
Welcome.
What a treat this is. Of course, it's Sunday night, and we needed to figure out something to do late night on a Sunday night, so why the heck not? We get on and we do a podcast with you guys.
Now, Tommy,
well,
there was something that you did when I first started the show. I told you, you know, my numbers, we just started out, and you're like, hey, come on, let me be on the show. You know, I said, Tommy, please be on the show. It's basically what I was doing was begging, and you were like, yeah, let's do the show. But there was something that you said, and I lost it because I lost that other computer. And I was hoping you could do it again because there was something that I would always play before each show, like how I did. Welcome. But you did a little quote, and I know this quote by heart because I played it so many times. You said, Sunday night, late night, radio, what fun. I was wondering if you could do that again so I can take it out and maybe play it on some of the opening segments.
Yeah, I mean, let me call my agent and make sure we get the right scale, and we'll get this done up for you. I'm just
all
kidding.
Right.
Of course, we'll do it. Hey, have you guys ever seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
With
Brad Pitt.
Want to see that so bad.
This is the craziest show, but it's so classic. It's just greatness. Anyway, sorry, I was regressing a little bit because it's on in the background. So if I go silent every now and then, or just start laughing hysterically, it's because this show is priceless.
Yeah,
say, Francie?
Yes.
What did you want me to say?
Sunday night, late night, radio, what fun.
All right. Sunday night, late night, radio, what fun. With my
favorite friend. That's exactly how you did it. How you did it the first time.
See,
okay, don't save it.
We're professionals here.
Yeah.
Okay. So who do we have on tonight? Who's with us?
Yes, I guess I got to introduce you. We have Tom Sawyer.
That's my real name, too.
Oh, man. So how was that growing up?
That's what this one. I've heard every joke there is probably 1,000 times, you know.
Oh,
and my
God.
Only response now is I'm going to write a book, Mark Twain, by Tom Sawyer, and get even with that old fart. You know?
You
make more money dead as a writer than I do.
You've got to write it. You've got to write it.
Oh, well.
Oh, my God. That's just such a classic. Did your parents were they just trying to drive you crazy all your life? Or?
No, they were actually bribed. My grandmother offered, she was too chicken to name her own son that. So my dad's mother bribed them with baby furniture, a changing table, a crib, all this other stuff. And I go, my God, you could have held out for a college fund. You sold the naming rights cheap. They had money after their after her husband, second husband sold his bar, you know. He could have kicked me off with a college fund to boot. But we didn't think of that, you know. I was like, hey, you sold the naming rights cheap.
For God's sakes, Mom.
Yeah, you know.
Let's get this right. So what do you do, Tom Sawyer, for a living?
Well, I try to make it as a writer. Like I follow my passion, and so I'm trying to – I write – books and short stories. I'm one of Nicholas's authors, and other than that, I do clerical work at a law firm right now. But I just
all right. So tell me about what you've written. Give me your best.
Well, I think my best was my latest. It's called In Rod We Trust. It's a collection of short stories. It's a part of a going to be a 7-book tribute to Rod Serling in the Twilight Zone. So I wrote stories in that vein, where they're kind of have that Twilight Zone type aura or twist endings and irony to
all
them.
Right, so you're a little demented. We got that. So
yeah,
keep
I'm
going.
A lot demented.
I like
but
it.
Just, yeah.
I like it.
So, and I have to thank you for your show, Cheaters, because when I had cancer in 2007, I was off for 7 months on a medical leave. That show was on, so I kind of got addicted to it. Watch it at the kind of pass the time for the day when I was home, so that was kind of fun. So, you know, but
well, you know,
I get a lot of those shows. You know, I watch TV, so it gives me ideas and stuff. So I was like, you know, I used it. Oh, that could be a story somewhere. I used it in my book. You know,
wow, I think that'll be the first for me.
Oh,
well,
wow.
You know, you try to draw from characters you've seen or observed, and you know, go from there.
Yeah.
Well, very
from
good.
From experience in real life.
You'll have to send me over some of your short stories.
Okay.
Do it.
I'll be glad to do it, yeah.
I mean, I don't hear too much enthusiasm. You don't have to, but I mean,
that's just the way
shows.
He talks. Oh.
No, yeah, don't worry, that's Tom for you.
Film. I'm enthused. I'm kind of speechless. I'm flattered. I don't know what the. I'm kind of at a loss for words.
Hey Tom. I'm your publisher. I can send them a couple, but you'd
okay.
have to sign
cool.
them on the other hand too. So we'll work that out.
Okay.
I'm sure he wants them signed.
Yeah, just give me something inspiring that I can create my next series from.
I might have to leave that up to Nick. He's the publisher.
Francie
we'll
wants
figure
her,
it out.
Agent percentage here. I can hear it coming now.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait for
I
it.
I owe you something. Yeah. I've owed you something for a while, but that other Facebook page got hacked, and I need your address so I can send you a copy of Werewolf.
Okay, absolutely.
Because my main character, Larry, was written after you. I watched you on television, and I wrote Larry.
Well, I love that. You better send it to me, then.
Yeah, I got to send that to you. And I lost that other Facebook page. Somebody hacked it, and I never got the address. So, send the address
I'll
and we'll send you everything. By the way, we got another author on this. We got another author.
Well,
William Brower.
Well, if you're a fan of the...
Oh,
yes.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Tom, if you're a fan of like Twilight Zone type stuff, I'd tell William, not William, tell Nicholas to send you a copy of In Rod We Trust. But I'm flattered that you'd want to read some of my stuff, so that's... Basically, I try to be humble about it, and when somebody wants to read my stuff, I'm very flattered. So don't take my hesitation as being, you know, not wanting it. It's just kind of, oh, wow, that's cool, you know. So
yeah, for sure, man. No,
I try to stay humble
I'm
on
a
that.
Storyteller.
Appreciative.
So I like to.
Hey, Tom's
like to
been with me
that.
For about, with Black Bedsheet Books, my publishing company. It's a small horror
10
press.
Years.
For about 10 years, and he has just as many books with me pretty much. too, and he goes out to conventions every year, and he's got some solid fans. Amazing author from Michigan. He writes about uniquely Michigan type stuff, only adds a horror twist to it. And of course, like the Wendigo, there's a whole story wide out about the Wendigo that's really great. I watch him become a better writer every year.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, Nick. That means a lot, man.
You know, one of my business partners, they're bringing back the Leprechaun series.
Oh, wow.
You remember the Leprechaun movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to drag me into that. I'm doing it kicking and screaming, but I may get involved with them.
You know what, Tommy? I recommend it because
it's got a decent cult
as
following.
A fan of the series and as a general, you know, horror movie, horror book fan and all that, it's a franchise that's already been established a long time ago. And it's already got a bunch of movies. If you latch yourself onto it, and it's a horror franchise, which is like Friday the 13th, Freddy, Saw, you know, the whole nine yards and stuff. To latch yourself onto this, into a horror franchise in some form, that's something that's really solid to get going.
Yeah, so that could be fun. I want to get my acting chops back again. It's been a while, so... I don't get much of that opportunity because I'm so busy doing episodic reality stuff that it doesn't. I told myself I'm going to throw my hat back in the ring and do some films and other scripted television.
Well,
okay,
that would be great.
Oh, cool.
I do have a caller on that's on hold right now, 818, but I wanted William to introduce himself to Tommy also real quick.
So how we doing, Tommy?
Hi, William. What's your last name?
William Brower.
William Brower.
Yes, sir.
You sound like a writer.
Oh, you definitely say that.
He sounds smart.
Yeah, I've got 36 books out, and I've actually just branched out into writing scripts, and I've got two films optioned and already released. So,
very good.
Thank you. Yeah,
well,
so it's
nice
definitely
to
a,
meet
a,
you.
Likewise,
like we have a real motley crew here.
Oh, that we do. You know, we're definitely a bunch of tomfoolery over here, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually really cool because this is the first time that the guests say, "Tell me about you."
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah.
So this is really cool. I told the guys you're really cool.
Well, quit lying to them.
don't worry, the check is already in the mail.
Now, how did you guys all get to know each other?
Yeah, and we're all around the world. We're in Ohio, we're in California, and we're in Florida. And you're not in Texas anymore. Are you in Delaware?
No, I'm right now. I'm in Texas, but I'm trying. You know, I film all over the world, and
I
spend
so
half my time in California and half the time in Texas.
Oh
nice.
You should. All right, we're going to take this caller before this caller hangs up on us. Let's pray, because we've had a lot of bad callers before, but area code 818, you're live.
Hi.
Hi.
You're the guy that does the cheetah show, right?
Have you been cheating?
I saw my mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night, and I was wondering, is that cheating on my daddy? Because they were really going at it, and his tongue was like really down here. and his hand was way up her ass, and she was making this sound like, it was kind of weird.
Okay, well, there you go.
Okay.
I mean,
sounds like too much information.
I'm going to let you guys handle this one.
I always did wonder, did Mama cheat on Santa Claus? Or, wait, on Daddy?
Well, you know, well, I mean, it went on for a long time.
All right. Can you sing that song for me?
Yeah. I'm the mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe that night. I don't remember the last.
All right, if I had my gong, I could gong it here, but we're just going
to
go ahead and get through this one.
I hate to say it, King Terry is tuned better than me.
Tommy,
well, somebody
I'm
get her a record contract.
Tommy, I'm pulling your chain. I'm actually William's aunt, and I call it every week with some really weird call.
I knew it couldn't be a real call.
So, Tommy, I'll be the first one, but that's my aunt and I promote each other. So she's a SAG-AFTRA actress, and you know, she's done more things than I have, obviously, because she's just a little bit older than I am.
Just a little bit.
Well, don't run
okay,
around on live radio.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tommy, you were
Francie,
Simon Cowell, what would you...
Oh, Francie, there's been a
yes,
couple
dear.
Of times Howard Stern's called the show, but I don't think he could do a female voice like that.
Let's get into Tommy Habib now, because he is the guest, and Tommy, like I've told you so many times, oh my gosh, I'm such a fan. Honestly, I am. I'm a huge fan of yours, and I love what you're doing now with Rescue to the Rescue. I mean, you are changed. People are thinking, oh, it's just dogs. No, you are changing life. You're not only changing these beautiful animals' lives, but you're also changing human life, because they get these beautiful animals.
Well,
Tommy,
that's very sweet of
you. I have four rescue dogs and a rescue cat, so I'm really looking forward to seeing your show about rescues. Because I promote it a lot. My whole family has had rescues their whole lives. So I'm really looking forward to your show.
You can watch it every Saturday and Sunday. Are you in L.A.?
Actually, I just moved from L.A. to Atlanta.
Okay, well, we're on in Atlanta, too. I think I think the CBS affiliate in Atlanta, we're on Fox and KCOP there in L.A. But, yeah, we've been on for a year and a half for one of the top syndicated shows on television. So proud to say that.
It's a great
very
show,
cool.
too.
The world needs a little warm and fuzzy, so we try to, you know, make people feel good. The show is really, you know, it is a show about rescue, the through line is, but it's more about, Francie, you hit it right, you know, more about humanity and people and how the these dogs change people's lives.
You see all these bumper stickers that says who saved whose life, and it's talking about a rescue dog, and it's absolutely correct. The dog saved your life. Because you get a new chance of love.
Yep. You know, you come home and who's there first to meet you at the door? Your dog.
Your dog. And your cat just licking her paw saying, oh, you're back. No.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. No, it's pretty wonderful thing. We're now country now for our third season, so we're very proud of that. And the show is really special, and you know, we've got the largest advertisers in the world. They're actually, this is kind of unheard of, but they're coming to us and wanting to advertise on our show and be part of something really good. And
that is so awesome.
We did a partnership with the Autism Society of America. We've had several families with autism, and showed how these dogs changed their families' lives, and so it's pretty special. And I got to tell you, I mean, I've been on television for 40 years, and this is about the best work I've ever done.
What was your favorite episode, Tony?
Oh,
what was your very favorite episode?
There's been so many, but probably, you know, so it's hard to quantify that, you know. I mean, I've gone and flown 250 animals from the Bahamas all the way up to Nova Scotia, Canada, right? Saved them from dying and put them with new families in Canada, and so that's pretty special. But I guess probably one of the most that, I mean, I was showing an episode to some people 2 days ago, and it was about, you know, a young woman. I think she was originally from Virginia, and 19 years old, tried to commit suicide 3 times, completely.
Oh, wow.
Her family had no relationship with them and was confused, and she found out she was on the spectrum, and her mom got this rescue dog, and it became her service dog. And today they have they bought 50 acres in Park City, Utah, and built a hospice for dogs. And they have a whole doggy daycare that's doing, you know, over $1 million a year. And she's got a successful company, and her whole family works with her. And it's the greatest story ever, to go from complete despair to,
wow,
to, you know, where she is today. And as we're talking, and she's telling me that, she goes, "Tommy, you know, there are days that go by I don't even realize that I have autism, and I forget I'm around all these wonderful animals, and you know, they've just completely changed my life." And so, you know, I mean, that is hard to beat. That kind of episode, right?
Exactly. And there's a video on your Facebook page, which, oh my gosh, I had to watch over and over and over again. It was called "I'm Drowning in a Pound of Puppies." Aww.
Yeah, that was a pretty cute moment.
You know what's cool about that is you lay down, and all these puppies are all wagging their tails, they're all licking you, and what's really cool is because you can tell, they always say you can tell a good person if a dog likes you. Dude, as soon as you lay down, all those dogs were like on top of you, wagging their tails and licking you.
It's pretty sweet. I've been lucky in life to be able to I love animals, so horses, dogs, you know, I rescued a bunch of big cats at one time and little cubs, right, and all the way to, you know, just about everything. And so this really fits into my life, where I really want to be at this point in my career. And I'm doing a whole, you know, bunch of things that are related to rescue. We're working on a program right now where we're telling these amazing rescue stories about these children around the world that are being trafficked, and they're amazing stories and very difficult to see, but very important, right, for our world. I'm working on a new show with Marielle Hemingway about, it's another rescue style show, but it's we're dealing with teen suicide
and
the solution and how to help people, you know, deal with this problem and so it doesn't get so far that they have no other choices, right?
That's wonderful. Wow. You know, Regina King's son just committed suicide. He was, I think, 25. Yeah.
Done.
Wow.
The other day. And this boy, this young man, had everything going for him. And to be so desperate and so depressed that the only way out for him was suicide is just incredible.
No, it's very, very difficult. Time Magazine partnered with me on it. They love what we're doing, and they said, "Listen, this is too important," and so I'm real excited with that new partnership. You know, I think that we're going to really be able to change some lives, and truly, you know, the fact is. Teenagers, it's a pretty scary thing when you have teenagers, because I have two.
No, especially today.
And I know, you know, when my dogs, when they go up in their room and they shut their doors and they're alone and they have social media, and I know if my dogs, my animals are in the rooms with them, that they're getting all the love they could ever want, right? And having someone to talk to. And so just having... that's the importance of animals, and that's why I can't stress it enough for people. If you have kids, life is very difficult today for children.
I've always said your first unconditional love, other than your parents, but you can't really talk to your parents, your first unconditional love will be your pet.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
I always said that. I was, you know, people that told me, they're like, believe it or not, at one time I was rounded, and they're like, how are you so rounded? I was like, because I got a dog. Honestly, I had a dog. You know, I got to care for the dog. I love the dog. You know?
You know, I mean, I can definitely vouch for that one. 9 years ago, my wife had suffered her second stroke. And, unfortunately, she went through a really, really deep depression because she didn't want to do the therapy or do the walking or anything like that. So, you know, I kind of persuaded her, because she knew that I always missed even though we have a house full of rescue cats, I've always been a dog person, and so, you know, I persuaded her to, you know, go with me to the shelter, and, we found this little American Bulldog lab mix named Archie, and, well, you know, she took a liking to him because, you know, he was very, very timid in a lot of ways, but, you know, outgoing otherwise. And, you know, so we went to the lady in charge. We're like, you know, can we think about it? Maybe come back tomorrow for the adoption. And, you know, she went down her list and she's like, oh, yeah, no, there's a red line next to his name. So, you know, yeah, they're going to put him down at the end of the day if you don't do anything.
Oh!
So, yeah. You know, and we were surprised because he was barely 8 weeks old, and he had been adopted once, but they returned him because he was hyperactive. But you know,
this is the best one.
You're like, well, yeah, he's a puppy. And
so we
picked him up and we brought him home, and I mean, you know, she made a full 180, change altogether. I mean, you know, the spirit was bolstered back up. You know, she went, not only was she doing physical therapy, but she was walking the whole block around the neighborhood, like 2 miles a day. And so, like, right now as we speak, he's right now curled up on the bed under his own blanket with his own pillow and his teddy bear sleeping right next to her.
Aww. That's beautiful stuff. Yeah, we all three of us share the bed.
So you've experienced it firsthand, my friend.
Indeed, very much so. You know, and
the love of a dog.
Yep, and you know that's why your show is just always so amazing. It really is. So, I'm glad that, that you're coming for a third season.
I appreciate that. You know, my friend Harvey over at TMZ, he used to beat me up all the time, and now we talk, and he's like, he's hugging me, telling me how he loves me. I went, well, I love you too, man. It took many years, though, but, you know, he's a big Rescue fan, so that really works.
Now, speaking of TMZ, just real quick, did Steele ever get adopted?
Oh, yes, Steele did get adopted.
Oh, good,
Pretty darn cute, Steele, and he's about 90 pounds now. He's just huge.
Whoa.
He's
Whoa.
Big, and he's so sweet. And that dog, you don't understand. I mean, when I found him, he was he had two other siblings, and they both died, and Kathy Bissell from Bissell Vacuums, sweet Kathy, was with me on this rescue, and we're in the Humane Society of the Delta, right in the border of Arkansas and Mississippi. And I found little Steele in these horrible conditions. There was a dead rat in his bed. It was just horrible. And we pulled him out, and Kathy took him up to Michigan with the two siblings. The two siblings died. Steele made it. She got him nursed back a bit. And then I flew up to Michigan about 3 weeks later and got him and brought him back to Dallas. What a sweet dog, and he's doing very, very well, actually. So
good.
That's so awesome you're doing this. And I know that you did a great campaign with the late Betty White, and I seen the tribute that you gave to her on your Facebook page. Because, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people know that you did this with Betty White, but I do. And I thought that your love for animals and Betty White's love of animals, it definitely falls in the same category.
Well, I can't come close to Betty White, but I did have the wonderful opportunity to get to know Betty, and the SPCA LA asked me to come be a part of their celebrity. They had a celebrity board or something, and there was a few soap opera guys and me would go and do some big rescue stuff. And I think we, you know, because we could bring the cameras and bring awareness to some of these disaster areas. And then they asked me to host their telethon with Betty White. And so Betty and I got to know each other really well. And we did some fun promos together for the telethons. And then doing a telethon with her was just crazy because, I just remember, you know, 5-6 hours into it, you know, I'm sitting down and Betty's running around the studio like a crazy woman. And she's going, come on, Tommy, get up. She was just relentless and just a pistol. I got to tell you, you know, she was so funny, and we would do bits together. It was just really pretty special. So sad to have lost her. I remember when I first started to the rescue, and I talked to her, and she goes, absolutely, I want to, you know, do some stuff with you on the show. I just can't travel much anymore. So I said, that's okay. I'm going to come to you. And then 6 months later, you know, her attorney said, listen, she's not doing well. It was frustrating, but the good part is I know that she got to see our show and enjoy it and knew what we were doing, and, you know, she was just so inspiring, everything she did, and had just a huge heart for animals.
Yeah, she did.
Amen.
And probably the biggest heart ever. Like, I know that everybody was saying, like, on her birthday, January 17th. And, by the way, we booked Tommy before that terrible passing, and this is just a coincidence. But, you know, everybody is saying, on her birthday, please donate money to the SPCA in her name because that's what she wants.
Yeah. They actually said do it to your favorite animal charity. And so all these rescues all over the country, she just, you know, in her name was supported just with millions of dollars donated all over the country. It was pretty special day. And they're still giving because at our foundation and from our show, people are, you know, attaching her name to their donation.
I was wondering about that. I wasn't sure if I should ask you that, but I was wondering if they donated to your contribution. That is awesome.
Yep. And it's in her name. So, it's pretty cool. I got to tell you. So she's living on, and she's going to live on forever.
We'll
as long as I'm doing the show, we'll always do a tribute to Betty.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it. I mean, she is the most beloved American icon of all time. Let's go ahead and face it.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep,
at least you get for animals and stuff too, you know.
Yep. She gets my my vote.
And by the way, I think I did see this picture. Wasn't Betty White choking you?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, we did a bunch of different comedy bits and promotions and stuff for different things, and there was some funny bits that we did.
He did. I did see that photo too. You were on the park bench.
She's feeding me. You can go to my YouTube channel, and I believe that there's four or five things with Betty and I doing different bits.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tommy. I do stalk you every now and again. It's because I'm a fan, and that's why I say, Tommy, please come back.
No, listen, I appreciate it so much. And, you know, listen, I just try to do what I do to make people laugh or sometimes cry and care. You know, I just want to. My goal is to really touch people emotionally one way or another. I did comedy for so long, but what I did on Cheaters, and so many people don't realize because they, you know, wait for the big confrontation. But truly the fact is people came to me in trouble. They needed to know the truth. They were lost. Many of them were just at their wits' end. They couldn't afford a detective. They just They didn't know what their spouse was doing. They were just a mess, needed help. And so, you know, what I did was I was just honest, and I wanted to help them find out the truth. Of course, it was the truth of someone cheating, and it was some of the most devastating news you can get. And it just, you know, when we confront them, of course, it made, you know, spectacular reality television. You know, it was very, people wanted
it
to
did.
See it.
Oh, yeah.
You did be honest. And I know that Tom has questions for you right now, but let me just say this. That's one thing that separated you from, you know, anyone else that was on Cheaters is you were honest. Like, you put your foot in the doorway and you said, don't close this door on me. We need to talk. You know, that's
right. Hey, I want you to say something really quick to Tommy. Because I've been giving this some thought, and, of course, I live with Francie. And I normally never would have watched Cheaters.
I'm
just turned off to quote-unquote exploitive TV that people like the housewives watch during the afternoon and, you know, and stuff. Looking at your stuff versus Joey Greco's, your stuff back then, it seemed more honest. And I've heard, and Francie's like showed a lot of your Cheater stuff to me over and over and over again, because she for a while there, she was she just kept watching it over and over again. Not that she's like an obsessive serial killer, but my goodness. But at the same time, I'm thoroughly like knowledgeable about that. And then the thing is, I think my point is that there's a lot of exploitive TV along those lines. And what they did with your show after you were gone turned into that. And so when I look at the episodes with you, people say that you weren't a great host and blah blah blah, but I can tell that it was from a more honest type of like exactly like what you were saying. That's why sorry, Francie. That's why I had to interject a little, because that's my feelings exactly what you just said about how you were coming at it from the point of view that you were doing somebody some justice.
Yeah, that I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And you know, all the so many thousands of emails and letters really brought that home, and it made such a difference, and it was important to me. And I remember I was hosting a show in Las Vegas at Caesars, and it was a Super Bowl show or something, and it was 6 a.m., and I'm having breakfast with all these executives, and they're all in suits, and we're at some restaurant there in Caesars. And a guy comes walking by with a wife beater shirt, toughest dude I've ever seen, right out of East L.A., right? Teardrop tattoo. He was a tough dude. And he looks over at me, and this is so surreal, it almost feels like I wrote this script, but it actually happened. And he walks over, sees me, walks over, and I tell the guys, I said, look, I don't know what's going to happen. This could be good or it could be bad.
Wow.
And this dude comes over, walking through tables, and gets to me, and nobody else is in the place, just us. And he leans over and he says, could I talk to you? And I went, sure. So I tell the guys, I'll be back. And we go over about three tables over and sit down. He told me that he's been walking around the streets of Vegas for 2 days. He knows his wife's here with somebody else. He can't find them. And he's crying to me. And he goes, I didn't know what to do, but I looked over and I saw you, and I know God sent you to talk to me and help me. And now this is a bad dude, and he's crying to me. And he said,
wow.
You're the only one I can trust. So,
wow. So
what do I do? And I asked him, I said, well, so do you have children? He goes, yes, I have three children. They're at home. And I said, so who's with them? He said, my mother. And I'm bringing a 45-minute conversation down to 30 seconds here. But basically, I told him, you need to leave. Go take care of your children. You know what's going on. You don't need to confront your wife and whoever she's with today. I said, you need to protect your kids, take care of them. The rest will take care of itself. And at the end of the conversation, he got up, hugged me. I was crying right along with him. And
wow.
And left. But the,
that would make you a great host.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is it was he got it, right? He believed. At that moment, I knew what I was doing was honest, and that if people felt that, right? And that was the most important thing to me, is that here's a guy, one of the baddest dudes I've ever seen, trusting me to help him.
Wow.
And that was it, man. I knew that at least whatever the heck we were doing, that I had to stay true and honest to the viewer.
And you know, I mean, and that's the way to do it, though, because I mean, unfortunately, we see so many people that will take it from the other spectrum, and that just makes things just blown out of proportion, without a doubt.
Yeah, life's tough,
and,
right?
And in fact, I will tell you, I told William and Tom, they can vouch for me. I said, what you see of Tommy Habib, I'm going to send you some clips, do research, but they already knew who you were. So they were like, oh, okay, you're sending me. Yeah, we already. But I did tell them, what you see on TV, that's Tommy.
Well, that's my goal.
And that's what makes you so great. That's why people tune in. They want to. I mean, honestly, you're honest.
Well, thank you. Well, that's
yeah,
you
and,
know, and it should be that way in life for everybody. If people would just be straight and honest, and we'd figure out how to all get along. And I don't know. We're going through some interesting times right now. So.
Oh yeah. I'll admit this much, Tommy. Just like with Nick, between the two of you, when you were in charge and running with Cheaters, I liked your approach. I really did. And I forgot which episode it was, but on one of them, it actually inspired a short script that I had written up because of just the way that you would handle the situation. So, of course, I threw it in as more of a dark comedy more than anything else, and it's like a Thanksgiving dinner gone wrong. But, the way that you handled that moment was just so spot on that, it's one of the few times that I actually booted up the computer but kept the television on along the way, too. Because I wanted to see how it was going to end.
Well, that's pretty cool. I appreciate that, my friend.
Not
so
a problem.
You guys, a couple things that are important, and I'll get it out there. And we're doing some pretty neat things. To the Rescue has spawned quite a bit more than just a television show. We're launching a whole product line now. That we're going to launch of leashes and collars and dog bowls and beds and dog toys that we're going to offer up in big box stores coming up, you know, later in 2022.
Excellent.
And, you know, every time you buy a leash or a collar or anything from To the Rescue, you're helping save a dog, right? And,
there was
that's cool.
We're about to be cut off soon. Wings of Rescues. You guys rescued 90 dogs. Now, was that your sons that were helping you rescue the dogs?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Wings of Rescue folks, they're Rick that really runs Wings is just an amazing human being. And he's been a really good friend and partner to the rescue and to animals all over the world. And then some of the best things is when you can include your family. So my boys are big time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, advocates. Huh?
That's awesome.
It is. That's really terrific. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
They put a lot of time in and into to helping, and so nothing can make a dad feel better, right, than that.
In fact, one of your sons, there was a close-up and you could see in his eyes that he was really into it and he was really involved, and that is so awesome.
Yeah, when you can do something in your work where you get to include your kids, pretty special.
And play with dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
no, that,
the other thing
no,
is saving them.
That was actually a great video where you guys did the Wings of Rescue, and you guys rescued 90 dogs, and your sons helped board them onto the plane. It was actually very touching, and I had a little teardrop. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, well, that's I appreciate that, and you know it's crazy because every time I'm a sap. I'll watch shows that I was in the middle of, and I get teary eyed. It's just you know when you see the kind of things that we see and. You know, we're down in the Bahamas and did a big Wings of Rescue out of the Bahamas. I was just saying earlier, and we took them to Canada. But there was stuff that I couldn't show. You know, while we were out rescuing dogs off the street, we saw one get hit by a car right in front of us. You know, we picked him up, or we were about two blocks from. The hospital, and we're running with this dog, and you know, it was just a tough scene, and we get the dog to the hospital, and really, he just had so many internal injuries. It was so tough to deal with, but we, you know, the dog that lives on the street and has nobody. When this dog ended up passing away, there was 10 people all holding the dog, and he had medications to stop the pain, and we were trying to give him IVs and just keep him, we were trying to get him to get x-rays so we could see the internal damage, but it was tough, but he died, which was sad, but he died with a lot of love.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. He knew people.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And it was.
That's the kind of thing I want to do. I want to
do
that.
On.
Okay.
You can do it.
Tell me what you want me to do. I'm totally on board.
Well, now where do you live?
Antelope, California, right outside of Sacramento.
Okay, well, actually, we did a couple rescues in Sacramento. So next time we're rescuing in that area, next time when we're in that area, you can come be a part of it.
Hell yeah, nice. I'm totally on board.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Hey, another great charity you're doing is Forever Family, where every Tuesday you can donate money.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Forever Family Rescue Foundation, it runs with our, you know, to the rescue, and it we give money to the Forever Family from to the rescue, and then we use that money to, like, if our main mission is to, you know, wipe out kill shelters in America, and
yeah.
So we do partnerships with cities. And so if you're a police officer or a firefighter and you want a dog, we'll pay for everything. The rescue, we pay for all the health care, we'll pay for all the food.
Wow.
You don't have to pay for
That's
anything.
Wonderful
all
work.
You do is give that dog love, and the Forever Family Foundation will pay all the bills. And I believe you know, we can make a huge dent by helping these first responders and vets and firefighters and police officers, you know, get them animals, because they have very, very difficult lives. And just the PTSD from what they have to do every day, you know, come home and try to deal with what they've just gone through. They need a dog. They need some to.
I agree.
To
who else
lick
is
them and love them, love them up,
kiss.
Right?
Who else is going to give you a sloppy kiss and wag their tail and say, I love you, I love you, I love you?
I can say, Tommy, is Buddy White's got to be smiling down from heaven knowing other people like you trying to kind of pick up the mantle. So, you know,
I agree.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's just, you know, you're not Betty White.
I appreciate it.
You're not, I'm sure she's pretty happy with what you're doing and your work, and, you know, and probably proud of that too. So, you know,
there
always got to be.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So
keep up the great work.
Something to think about as well. Support our product line of To the Rescue, and then I have a website launching called Rescue Finder in about 60 days, and it'll be all over our show and website, and we'll be talking a lot about it. But you guys, hopefully, y'all support it, and your fan base will. And if you want to adopt a dog, you go to Rescue Finder and you put the breed or what the look is you want. And we have thousands of rescues across the country that are uploading their dogs to our website. And you can pick the dog you want, right? And then we help transport it and get it to you. And
I want a dog.
It's going to be a – yeah, so there's a website called Pet Finder. And the problem with Pet Finder, it's, you know, they use a lot of breeders.
I would prefer to get a rescue dog than a breeder.
Our last two have been rescues.
I love rescues because rescues know that you rescued them, and it's a lot more heartwarming for a rescue dog.
And I think
dog.
You're more appreciative, too.
Yeah.
And you know that
they'll love
dog.
You forever.
That dog's alive because of you. That's a pretty powerful thing. You save a life. So I love you guys. I appreciate everything. Thanks for having me on. And you guys keep up the good work. Keep people laughing. Keep writing all those great books. I'm going to expect to get a copy.
Yes.
You got it.
Week.
Thank you
keep
for your
involved
great work.
And
thank
you guys
so much,
take
Tommy.
Care.
We
and yes,
good,
when
Tommy.
You're in Sacramento, I want to help.
Yeah, no worry. Yeah, so what I want, Francie, I want you to go on to our website, sign up as one of our rescue friends. And so when we do go to your town, I may forget, but my producers will reach out to you and say, hey, come help us.
Okay. I will definitely
And hey,
do that.
Hey, Tommy, tell us where we can find you anywhere online.
Yeah, so everywhere. I really here's something very important. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube. So it's To the Rescue TV on YouTube. My YouTube is just Tommy Habib, Habeeb. on Instagram. It's at Tommy Habib. Twitter, it's all, you know, that's what it is. Facebook, just my name. And come be a friend and let's have some fun and watch the kind of back behind-the-scenes stories. I try to do a lot of that. I'm involved in a lot of different things, so if you're on my social media or YouTube, you'll see I make golf television shows as well. I love golf, so I get the chance to do a lot of fun stuff with a lot of PGA pros. And then
awesome.
I like cool. cars, so I've got a new car show coming out, too, that I'm excited about. I'm doing with Richard
Starting
Rollins
up.
From Gas Monkey. Huh?
Is it called Starting Up? No.
The car show? Nope. It's actually we're doing a new court show called Car Court. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. And Richard Rollins from Gas Monkey and Fast and Loud on Discovery.
Yep.
So he and I are doing this new court show. He's the judge. It's crazy and fun.
By the way, I have worked in a couple of garages and I know a lot about cars now. If you ever need a backup, you know, person to talk about it.
There we go. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. You guys be good. I appreciate it. And we'll talk
all
again
right.
soon.
We appreciate
thank
what you're
you,
doing
Tommy.
Too, Tommy.
Right.
Thank you,
Tommy. Great. William and Tom, didn't I tell you he was great?
Yeah, we need to
have
him on.
Sure did.
Yeah, he
thank
was wonderful.
You guys. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you,
okay,
Tommy.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right. I told you.
Grooviness.
Yeah.
By the way, we went from number 5 to number 1 in live shows.
Grooviness.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. Outstanding.
Groovy.
Yeah, so people were tuning in.
Francie,
right.
you didn't ask him about 50 Cent.
Nope. About what?
50 Cent.
Oh, crap. We did forget to ask about 50 Cent in the Wu-Tang Club. But
you were like
was
telling me like
we
three
were...
times this afternoon, Nick. Tell him that we met 50 Cent down the street when he was selling the vodka, and but he was talking so much about animals. I knew when to end it.
I thought that was
stuff,
great,
and I'm really happy
great.
That I gave him my
time.
Point of view about his show and stuff that
and
he really appreciated.
Great that he did
I
the,
didn't want to like interrupt the dogs. With the
no,
50, hey,
no, I
this.
Thought it was great that he did the script. Sunday night, late night radio, what fun.
I'm not sure what if he knew what you were talking about, but he played in
he
with it.
He did know what I was talking
well.
About, because he did say, okay, I'll do it. All right, Blog Talk Radio is about to cut us off.
Hamster.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is terrible. Jeremy, sing us a song.
Huh?
Sing us a song while I look for this. Here we go. Sing us a song, John.
Think of the song. What song? Which one?
Sing us a song.
That's not how I was using the show. Yeah, that's not how I went in the show. That was John Link.
How did you want to end the show? Oh, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my little ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by wire. Tell me my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. And you'll be left alone, oh, baby. Telephone and tell me
alone.
I'm your own. That was the frog.
Can I be left alone?
That was the frog. There's a frog that was here with a top hat and a wand, and he was, like, dancing.
Oh.
Yeah, he was dancing top hat.
Here we go.
Thank you for being a friend.